will say, but I've been sowing. I've been speaking. I've been working. I've been investing. Well, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Or Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Is it verse 9 now? And let us not be weary in well doing, for in season we shall. If. Okay, so I'm sure it's one of the laws we would have learned earlier, that there is a time lapse between the sowing season and the reaping season. That if it is God that is involved in your affairs, he says, shall doubtless come back with rejoicing. Doubtless. I asked my pastor many years ago, when our church was young and it seemed like the church was not growing. I went to him, I said, sir, what do you do when you've done everything you know how to do as a pastor to make your church grow, but the church refuses to grow? He said, son, this thing is seasonal. Galatians 6:9, he said, for in due season, there is a season for sowing, there is a season for reaping. People get frustrated when they want to harvest, when it is season for sowing. Too many young people in our country creating desperation, unnecessary desperation for themselves. They want to ride cars now that they're supposed to ride later. Because there are just a few exceptions here and there who are beginning to show they have a house, they have money in their account, they're driving a car. Don't give yourself stress. In the first place, when it comes to matters of destiny, each person's season is different. In due season, you will reap. If you don't faith. So my pastor said, son, as long as a farmer is putting the seeds in the soil, he said there is hope for him. Because the season will come. And the seed will grow. He said, but if out of frustration, he stops sowing seeds, he said that's when the real problem begins. Because when the season of harvest comes, there will be nothing for God to multiply in his life. Don't stop sowing. I remember again, when we were struggling several years ago to keep our broadcasts on air, on radio. Then I took Success Power off, put it on another station that was far cheaper. And I was feeling cool because now we could afford this one easily. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, anything that compels you to reduce the quantity of seed you are sowing today has already reduced the quantity of your harvest for the future. I say, yee! I took the broadcast back. They that sow in tears, who said it will be easy to sow? The sowing season is a sacrificial season. Who said it was going to be easy? They that sow in tears. But those tears are temporary. There's joy coming. How many of us know that when a farmer puts a seed in the soil, there's a picture of harvest that comes into the farmer's mind? See, everyone who experiences the power of vision, there is a legit of increase that for your future when you sow seeds. God will use a seed to turn your captivity. Amen. The kingdom is in the seed. Jesus used the seed in his parables. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, he said, Mark 4 from verse 30. Like the mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds. But when it grows, says it grows into a giant tree. And the birds of the air come and build their nests in it. What was Jesus saying? It is not the size of your seed that matters. It is the size of the dream in your seed. Amen? You see, because some people make serious mistakes. They compare their seeds with other people's seeds. Doesn't matter. It is not the size of your seed that matters. It is the size of the dream in the seed. The dream is the DNA. They call it DNA. It's a code. How tall the tree will grow is already coded. The color of the leaves already coded. The size of the fruit is already inside. The design is already in it, in the seed. It's not the size of the seed that matters. It's the size of the dream in the seed. So there's no point comparing yourself. Sometimes it's too early to compare anything. Amen. You may not look like it. Your certificate may be bigger than my own. Let the harvest season come. Amen. Let the harvest season come. Mm-hmm. In Mark 4 from verse 26, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a man. Mark 4, 26 to 29. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should plant a seed and should water it and rise night and day, and the seed should grow, should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. That's it. You don't have the power to make a seed to grow. He said, but when it is grown, you know, he quickly puts in the sickle. He says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the air, after that the full corn in the air. It's a process. He says, and when it is ripe, then you put in the sickle and harvest it, because the harvest has come. Amen. The kingdom of God, or the secret of the kingdom of God, is in the seed. And the most powerful seed is revelation. The most powerful seed is revelation. The parable of the sower is the foundational parable for other parables. Jesus said to his disciples, if you don't understand this one, how will you understand any other one? So earlier on in the same Mark 4, you have it there, the parable of the sower. In verse 13, Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. Or the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Remember once again that the original seed God put in the soil was revelation. Information is seed. I mean, even when it is not revelation, just for the fact that you went to school, just for the fact that you read a book, you listened to a CD, I'm serious, your life is going in that direction. To have information enter your heart is like having a seed enter the soil. From the moment it enters the soil, it takes on a life of its own. It will bear fruit. That's why information is so powerful. It's the key to transformation. But the most powerful form of information is revelation, the one that comes from God. Did I hear you say amen to that? Amen. When revelation enters your spirit, faith is birthed in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The moment God says something and it takes root in the human spirit. You know something about the seed? When you plant it, the seed draws on its environment to fulfill its dreams. I'll say that again. Break down the tree. Analyze its components. A good chunk of it is water. What else is there? Nutrients that came from the soil. Not from heaven, the soil. What you have in the soil is what you have in the tree. Am I right? When God plants a seed in your spirit, that seed makes you a magnet. You begin to pull on human resources, pull on material resources, pull on financial resources, because the dream must be fulfilled. Yes, amen. Yes. The dream must be fulfilled. When God gives you a word, gives you a promise, gives you a vision, that vision turns you into a magnet. You will attract people you never attracted before, attract equipment you never did before, attract real estate you never attracted before. You will attract money you never attracted before. A revelation from God, a seed from God, turns you into a magnet that pulls on the environment to fulfill that vision that God gave you. And God is depositing something in someone here. That thing will make you a magnet. Before this conference is over, if you haven't yet, you will get a revelation. Your eyes are open. Your ears are open. Your heart is open. in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the word of God. It's like the hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. The word. There's power in the word. The word will prevail over everything on this planet. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says that God upholds all things by the word of his power. Everything was created by the word, and everything must answer to the word. When revelation enters your spirit, revelation gives you mastery over this planet. The secret, say what God said. It's not enough for you to be speaking. Say what God said. God's word in your mouth is as powerful as God's word in God's mouth. Did you hear me? God's word in your mouth is as powerful as God's word in God's mouth. Say what God said. In Matthew 8, the centurion said to Jesus, Matthew 8 verse 8, speak the word only. My servant will be healed. When we read that with our spiritual minds, or with our religious minds, we think he was saying, speak the scriptures. That's not what he was saying. The man who was speaking was a soldier. Centurion was a soldier in the Roman army who had control over 100 soldiers. Centurion, 100. Good. It was a military man who was speaking, and he was using military terminologies. You check different translations of the Bible. I did. It was revealing. One translation says, give the command, my servant will be healed. Another one said, give the order, my servant will be healed. I saw why today we speak, but our words are weak. We appeal. We beg situations. Give the order. How does a platoon commander speak? Attention. Everybody will know you are not serious. That's what that man was asking Jesus to do. Give the order. The sickness will run away. My servant will be healed. If you are going to speak God's word, say it the way God says it. Learn to give orders. Hebrews 13 verse 5. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 16 says, so that we may boldly say. That's it. Don't carry a powerful weapon with a weak hand. So that we may boldly say. If you are going to say what God said, say it the way God will say it. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. So revelation has to bat faith in the spirit. From the moment God says it, it becomes a reality. Amen? Whatever God calls anything is what it becomes in that instant. So whatever God has said to you, I'm saying revelation is the most potent form of seed that guarantees you harvest. Revelation, sir. The reality of my life today is simply the product of the words God spoke to me yesterday. Simple. I experienced changes in status based on what God said. Easy. So many instances, I can't share all of them. But I know, for example, that we were trusting God for a property, and I was at my friend's house in Houston, Texas. I was having my bath in the morning, and I was asking God a question. How do we raise 100 million naira to build our new church facility? Because I couldn't figure out how at that time to raise 100 million. I had no idea how to. Then he said to me, don't build for yesterday. Build for tomorrow. See, the exciting thing when you discuss with God is he doesn't always tell you what you want to hear. He tells you what you need to hear. When you talk to God, miracles happen. Okay. He said, build for tomorrow. I said, what does that mean? He said, build a church where governors can come and sit down comfortably with their friends. I said, oh my God. I said, thank you, Lord. Governors are coming to our church. He said, hold on. Not what you think.
What's the vision I gave you for the church? I said to raise role models in the society. He said, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some people come from somewhere. I'm talking about the people in your church now. I'm going to raise them. Governors are going to come out of them. I said, oh. All right. And then a new figure came into my spirit, 500 million. It was as easy as that. And I came back, I got to my office, because I always write those targets, those goals on plain sheets of paper, stick them on the wall. I took the 100 million off and I wrote 500 million and wrote it there. Long story cut short. That's where we hold our services now. We bought it. Grace. It was over when they told me asking price 650 million. I knew I was supposed to move on. When you price things in the market, there are some prices you hear, you know that's not your size, so you move on to look for your size. When I had 650 million, and that was not our size, but I had enough size, enough sense to do something. I told those who went with me, let's pray. Lord, is there a connection between our destiny and this place? Show us. And a few days later, I was praying in the morning when he said, go for it. Negotiate for it. And you must not take a loan to complicate matters. So that by the time God would have done it, it would be obvious God did it. He did it. 425 million. He did it. What we use to put air conditioning inside is even more than what we used to buy it. I'm simply saying one revelation from God was change of status. Change of status. That's what's coming for someone here. I don't know what it is. Maybe change of marital status. Maybe change of business status. Change of career status. Change of financial status. Change of status in ministry. For someone here, it's change of status in health. The root of that sickness in your body is cut off now. It dies and withers out of your body. I root out every disease. Maybe cancer, maybe tuberculosis, maybe asthma. Whatever name by which it is called, I have come in the name that is above every name. I pull every sickness out by the roots. Dry up in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So, as I close and pray for us, just bear this in mind. Revelation is the most powerful seed in existence. And you get revelation through prayer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Prayer. 2. Meditation in the word. Meditation in the word. Spend time dreaming in the word. There is no human problem that was not solved in the Bible. Take those stories, superimpose them over your circumstances, and see possibilities. Meditation in the word. Thirdly, listen to God's prophets. God speaks through his prophets. Your own business is to believe. You accept what the servant of God has said as your reality from that moment onwards. Accept it as your reality. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe the Lord your God. You will be established. Believe also his prophets. You will prosper. From the moment the prophet says it, it's hanging, waiting for the person who will believe. Not only believe, but act on it. Elisha said, 2 Kings 7, thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, the currency would have changed, the economy would have changed. There was a professor of economics there. He said, man of God, even if God will open the windows of heaven, there is no empirical principles, nothing by which this kind of a thing can happen, sir. Elisha said, you just broke a spiritual principle. Your business is not to argue with the prophet. It's to believe. He said, your eyes will see it, your mouth will not taste it. But today I declare your eyes will see it. Your mouth will taste it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. A business is not analyzing prophecy. Prophecy is not for analysis. It's for action. It's not for analysis. It's for action. Somebody said too much analysis leads to paralysis. Elisha in 2 Kings 5 said to his servant, go and tell Naaman, the military general from Syria, go down to the river Jordan, wash there 7 times. You will be healed. Naaman was analyzing the prophecy. He said, did you hear this man? He said, I thought the man would come out, look up to heaven, call upon God, strike the place, and heal the leper. He sent his servant to me. Does he know who I am? He said, I should go and wash in River Jordan. He said, are there not rivers Abana and rivers Papa in Syria? Are they not better than River Jordan? When I read it, I said, wonderful. General Naaman. So you knew how to heal leprosy. Why did you come all the way from your country? See, look at the analysis that he made. So he knew what the prophet was supposed to do. The prophet was supposed to come out, look up to heaven, call on God, strike the place. Why did you come here? You see how some church people cheat themselves? They are doing analysis. Prophecy is not for analysis. Somebody said, General, sir, if he had told you to do a more difficult thing, wouldn't you have done it? If I was there, I would have added, sir. Actually, it's not the prophet that has leprosy, it's you. The earlier you obey, the better for you. Amen. Just a slight shift in attitude can change somebody's life. We get revelation through God's prophets. But remember, revelation is the most potent form of seed that guarantees you fruitfulness and guarantees you harvest in life. My last bit of thought is on a more serious note. John 12:24, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. He who tries to keep his life will lose it. He who is willing to lose his life is the one that will find it again. Amen. Keep it unto eternal life. Your life is a seed. Where you are now, your current status, you can turn it into a seed. We were designed to evolve from one state to the other. But some people get stranded at a particular level. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. Seed with the hard shell containing the potential of what could be. Hard shell. And some people have their experiences like that. Hard shell. Something inside is saying, I'm bigger than this. I'm more than this. I know my destiny is bigger than this, but they can't break out. They can't break through that hard shell. I've been there before. Hard shell. I've been there as a pastor. If I was pastor of our current church, I've been there. One day I preached a sermon. I titled it, I am more than this. My circumstances were telling me I was not. Completely contrary. I would drive into the premises of our church like this and I would be saying to myself, this is not me. It was mediocre. It was dirty. Muddy water all over the place. Run down building. This is not me. Because I knew the vision God showed me about our church. This is not me. That's why I just poured out my heart that day when I preached that sermon. I am more than this. To encourage myself. No, someone who is feeling like that. I'll give you the secret. You know what happened there in John 12? Jesus was attending to a lot of crowd. If you start from verse 22, they said some Greeks came to meet his disciples and said, we must see Jesus. Back up to verse 21, let's see. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." We have to see Jesus. But they were Greeks, they were Gentiles. And while he was here physically, Jesus was not meant to minister to Gentiles. The ministry to Gentiles would be made possible after his death and resurrection. He was operating under the covenant of Abraham. It was on that basis that he was healing people. He needed to die and to resurrect before the gospel could go to Gentiles. So when Gentiles came and they were pushing that we too must see Jesus, when they told Jesus, he said, "I have to translate to a higher level to be able to reach these people. But to translate to a higher level, the current me must die. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. But if it dies," hear what Jesus said, "it brings forth what? Much fruit." You want to live your life on a much fruit level. That's where I want to live my life. I don't want my potentials to be trapped. I don't want to know that there is someone I could be that I am not. There are things I should do that I can't. There are places I should go that I can't go. There are things I should have that I don't. I don't even want to live my life like that. I don't want to get to heaven and discover there are many things that should have happened in my life that did not happen because I was afraid. Because dying is not easy. I was sent by God to call you to consecration. Give your life to God. Anyone who tries to keep it, Jesus said, will lose it. What are you holding on to? You know today, you don't know tomorrow. Too many things about this life. Too many things that you can't wrap your brain around. Let God lead you. Amen. Let God guide you. There are some statements some of us have made, and there are signs of lack of consecration. I can never, I hear some ladies say, "I can never marry a pastor." Say, you are not broken. It means you still want to control your life. Who knows whether marrying a pastor is what will bring you the greatest fulfillment in life. I can never, you are using your small brain to calculate your destiny. Your brain is too small to work out the details. During my service year, I was busy organizing how to go to MIT in the US for my master's degree. I sent in for forms. They sent me their registration forms, the brochures. I love to look at them and to dream and to fill the forms. And all. And one day, the Holy Spirit said, "Throw those forms away." I said, my plans were wrapped around that thing. Nobody likes poverty. Your poverty is not sweet. The one day I said, "Yes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done." So I took the forms and threw them under the bed. Oh, you got it. I was supposed to throw them in the dustbin. I threw them away, but threw them away far enough for me to still be able to reach them, which of course was what I did after a few days. When I thought about my life, thought about my vision, I beg. See, some people die, but they don't die completely. Do you know that is what baptism signifies? That's what our baptism signifies. That the pastor holds you, dips you in water, brings you out. It's a demonstration that the old you is dead and has been buried. It's a new you that is resurrected. Jesus went to the River Jordan. John the Baptist took him, buried him in the water. As he brought him out, the new Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit came on him. God's voice sounded from heaven, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." From that moment onwards, miracles, It was a new Jesus. He was now Jesus Christ.
It was that anointing that made him the Christ.
See? It's either you are going to live your life with human ability or you are going to live it with the power of God. Which one will you choose? You want to control your life and live a small life, or you want God to take control of it and then take it where you could never have taken it to?
When my pastors were telling me, look, the call of God is on your life, we can see it clearly. You need to come to church. Come and walk in church. I said, Then the principal of our Bible school, elderly minister, said to me, look, we know the grace of God is on your life. It's over your coming. I said, Then what I couldn't tell my pastor, I told him, I said, Baba, how much will you pay me? I said, I know the salary that you pay other people in the church is not much. I said, I have a lot of responsibilities. Number two, I come to the church office, I see a lot of the time the people here, they're talking, they're not doing much. I said, sir, my brain is very fertile. I need to occupy myself, so I'll go and take a job in town. Anything you have for me, sir, just keep it on the table. When I come, I'll come and do it. So I went, I took a job as a site engineer somewhere. I would close 6 p.m., then go to the church office, whatever they had for me, I would do it. Of course, after 3 days of doing that, I broke down. Because I'm not God. Anyway, you know the interesting thing that happened? One day, something went wrong on the site. And my director was very angry. An allergy. He was very angry. He blasted me. Mr. Dehemi, what is going on? What is going on? I've been observing you. Instead of you to supervise what is going on the site, you spend your time entertaining visitors. Visitors, visitors, all the time, visitors, and things are going wrong on the site. You need to sit up. When he left me, I sat down at the site office and I was bitter. I said, did you hear this man? He said, me, I'm entertaining visitors. Is it not people coming for counseling? You see, my real customers still came to find me where I was. That was not my place. I did only 8 months. I resigned. I left. The day I was leaving, they did this send-off thing for me. And then, you know, the assistant, one of the assistants to my director, also an allergy, said, Mr. Adeyemi, I don't understand what is going on. I don't understand how a brilliant young man like you, with a great career ahead of you, would leave your a very promising career as an engineer only to go into religion. That's just the thing I don't understand. But we wish you well. So all of them said similar things. When it was my turn, I said, I want to really appreciate the love and the care. Your concerns are genuine. I said, but I'll tell you this. I have found an area of life where I function like a computer. When I'm there, things work a whole lot more easily and I get better results. I said, I think it's better I should invest my life there. I said, don't worry about me at all. Very soon, you will hear about me. My director, who is the emir of his hometown, sent me a letter 2 years ago. Alaji. He said, Mr. Adeyemi, when you were leaving the site, I know I did not agree with your decision because I didn't understand it. But I hear of the great things that you are doing in the kingdom of God. I am very proud of you. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. It was risky, wasn't it? Leaving my job as an engineer, leaving, it was just like I was going to die. But I found another life. A life of value. A life of global impact.
You are struggling to pay tithe.
You have a long way to go.
It's tithe you have problem with.
Some of us did 100% before the money arrived.
In other words, Lord, anything you want me to do with it is what I will do with it. That was the agreement I reached with God many years ago. Then he said, okay, let's test it. Your whole salary for this month, throw it in the offering basket. So, But remember, for Abraham it was, take your son, your only son whom you love, sacrifice him. Absolute trust. It was God who promised that he would give him a lineage, build a nation through that same Isaac. The same God now said, kill him. He said, look, Hebrews 11 says he was accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead. I will keep my part. Lifted knife was about to slash his throat. God said, hold it. It was just a test. You passed. By myself, I swear, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply. Listen, when God swears over you like that, the devil that can impoverish you has not been invented. That's the implication. Bow your head with me in prayer just a few minutes. I want you to talk to him. Will you still try to have control over your life? Use your small brain to plan everything out, or will you allow God? So much more, much fruitfulness, much harvest, so much increase and multiplication around your life. I see it clearly in my spirit. It's only possible if you'll allow God to turn your current level into a seed and to multiply it. I want you to talk to God. Lord, I give my life to you. When what you have is not enough to be your harvest, turn it into a seed. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. Heavenly Father, I consecrate my life to you. Use it anyhow you want. Everything that I am, everything that I have, is now yours. Use them the way you want. Lead me anywhere you want me to go. It's a dangerous prayer, but the blessing coming. It's dangerous blessing. Explosive blessing. Yield your life to God. Perhaps you've been sensing what God wants you to do, but you've been struggling with it because you've not been able to understand or analyze it. Yield your life to God. The night Jacob yielded to God, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. From supplanter, clever man, trickster, into a prince with God. Wow. No more struggles with God or with the will of God. Let God use you. Let God lift you. Let God blesses you. Bless you. No more gimmicks. No more schemes. No need for corruption. No need to steal. I will let God do it. I will let God do it. Lord, I yield my life to you as a seed. Break the outer shell so the potentials in me can be realized. Lead me. Be my shepherd. Be my guide. Be my healer. Be my provider. Be my righteousness. Be my sanctifier. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. I see the outpouring of the Spirit of God in this room. See the power of God coming on people's lives in this room. Thank you, Lord. Will you stand to your feet with me as I pray? You lift your hands to the Lord as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I have not spoken my words. I have spoken your words to my brothers and to my sisters. I present to you this afternoon men and women whose lives are laid on your altar. I ask that you find their sacrifice acceptable to you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Lord, I ask that you make this a River Jordan experience for everyone. Jesus went into the water praying. There were many being baptized, but it's recorded that he went in praying. My brothers and my sisters have come in praying. And Lord, he was dipped in the water. As he was raised up, the heavens opened. I receive over each one here, open heavens. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare that on the behalf of each one here, Satan is cast down. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven, and I give you authority to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by enemies hurt you. On the behalf of each one present here today, I declare Satan is fallen. I receive for each one a new level of spiritual authority. Power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Whenever you step into a city now, the powers of hell will be destroyed for your sake. When you enter a country now, the powers of hell will be destroyed for your sake. In the name of Jesus, I declare on your behalf victory. Victory over witchcraft. Victory over sorcery. I declare from this moment you cannot be cursed. Whoever blesses you is blessed. Whoever curses you is cursed. Anyone who thinks of blessing or empowering you, God will bless them. Anyone who thinks of hurting you, God will take them out of the way. I declare from this moment, no policy, no system, no government, no power, no being, whether spirit or human, will be able to stop you anymore. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I receive for you a new level of authority. Where you spoke yesterday, nothing happened. When you speak now, the spiritual world will move at the sound of your voice. The material world will move at the sound of your voice. In the name of Jesus, as I prophesy over you right now, I see a new level of favor. Like Paul said, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet it's no longer us, but Christ that lives in us. From here on, it's not you anymore. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Wherever you show up, they won't see you anymore. They will see Christ. Whatever cannot be refused, Christ will not be refused to you anymore. The days of rejection are over. The days of failure are over. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, whatever Christ desires, that you will get. Whatever door cannot be closed against, Christ will not be closed against you. Where you spoke yesterday, nothing happened. When you speak now, this will happen. Those who told you no yesterday will turn the answer to yes when they see you. The you that was refused, the you that was declined, has died. A new you has resurrected. I prophesy supernatural promotion. I prophesy a change of your status. And I prophesy, as I'm prophesying, as I'm speaking over you, God's word right now, your name and your face come up in somebody's face, mind, somewhere. Someone will remember you the next 24 hours. it will be for good. A document that bears your name will come to somebody's attention. Proposals, applications that have been forgotten a long time ago, in the next 7 days, they will come back to people's attention. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I declare a change of status. A change of status. They will look for you where you've been for a long time. They won't find you anymore. In the next 1 year, change of physical location. Change of career location. Change of business location. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. If you are the one, I've been prophesying, you know it in your spirit. This is me. Give Jesus a big hand clap and a big shout. He deserves the praise. Oh! Hey! It's me. This blessing is me. Watch out for me. Amen. Watch out for me. Tell someone close. Watch out for me. My status has changed spiritually. Just watch out for me. The manifestation is coming now. People who thought they knew you before will see you. They will not recognize you anymore. I'm telling you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just one more prayer and I'll take my seat. One more prayer. Pastor Buki didn't ask me, but I will ask for permission. I want to pray. Have we taken an offering in this service? No, not yet. Can I take the offering?
Yes.
See, I've enjoyed grace. When you talk about evolution financially, it's my story. Me that in this country, I've brushed my teeth and there was no toothpaste. I used salt. In this country, bought second-hand clothes, wore second-hand clothes. I can't tell you all the story. That's another sermon. But by the grace of God, I manage resources on God's behalf through organizations personally. So today, when I sign documents worth billions, I realize that's not me. That's God. That's the only way to explain it. I came into this city with nothing, with a traveling bag hung on my shoulder. Nobody looked to see who was going on the road. But that was then. This is now. I love the way God blesses me. My definition of wealth is not storing large amounts of money in your account. That's not my definition of wealth. It's having enough sufficiency to meet every need when you have them. What thrills me is the way God brings the money. Really, the first time I was on a flight from Abuja to Lagos, and somebody came from behind, from a seat behind, and gave me an envelope and said, "Sir, this is a seat, sir." Just to say, "Big God bless you, sir." I went back to a seat. When I opened the envelope and saw a check, I said, "Ah, Lord, even in the air, you mean that my money comes in the air?" I said, "Lord, this is exciting. I get money on the land, I get in the air, I'll get on water." We were at Euro Disney in Paris and we just arrived. Then we were looking at all the rides and I realized, oh, we'll have to pay money to go on some of these rides. And I thought, we should have gotten money from some ATM, from an ATM in town before we came here. Do they have any ATMs here? As we were saying that, there was a family that was walking past. But I saw that they were looking at me. Then they stopped and came. Said, "Pastor Sam, God bless you." I said, "Oh." He said, no, we've never met before. We've never even seen you before. But your brother has preached in our church. We just want to thank God for your life." And as they were saying that, the man of the house opened his purse and he was counting money. Then he took out some euros, some hundreds of euros, and gave me, said, "Sam, just for you, sir. God bless you, sir. Have a nice time, sir. And they walked away. So I stood there and said, Lord, even here in Paris, you won't allow me ATM came. Mobile supernatural ATM, you understand? You won't even allow me to finish. Just express that. No. I was on a flight to Calabar about 2 or 3 years ago, and there was this lady. She was reading her Bible throughout, all through. When we stood up to get down at Calabar Airport, then she greeted me. I said, "Oh," she said, "Yeah, I know you." Then she took out a picture from her Bible and said, "Sir, you see this picture?" Then I saw the picture. They took the picture at Euro Disney. She said, "We met you at Euro Disney." I said, "Oh my God, you're the one! It's you! I've been sharing your testimony all over. Thank you for being such a great blessing to me." She said, "We thank God, sir," and gave me an envelope. When I opened it, it was a check for $500,000. You see, that's the point, that it's not even the amount that trip me, it's the how, that God can bless me anyhow. If I was planning doing financial planning, there's no way I could have planned that, to collect money inside aircraft. Our family was going on vacation, we just got into an aircraft, then there was someone who had seen us before, and then the person came and gave me an envelope. I ran back to go and sit on a seat, and I checked, it was $1,000. We were just about to leave from Lagos. I said, wow, inside plane again. I'm saying that someone here, the prayer I want to pray now is not, I don't know how to raise offering, I don't know how to harass people for money, but I came here as a prophetic sign. Somebody here, your status, your life, everything has changed. Changed. The days of struggling to look for money, they are over. It will come to you. Trying to survive is finished. Because Jesus said, "Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on." Finished. That's finished. After these things, the Gentiles seek. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added. Ah! I see so many people here getting real estate. Getting your house or a new house will not be by struggle. It will be calculation. It will come by favor. We have stepped into the realm of possibilities, and those visions are just popping up in my spirit.